Well, morning, everyone. Hey, you're a bit more enthusiastic this morning than you were last night. That's good. That's good. So, did you have a good breakfast? What was breakfast this morning? Mints. Savory mints. Nice. Well, what do you reckon? Five minties? Six. Let's go six. I can step up to six. We can do that. All right. I should probably give one to each of you, because not a one of you has brushed your teeth after breakfast, did you? No? Didn't know. It's always someone else's fault, isn't it? We'll just blame Cam. All righty. Well, let's have a think. I want you to think about yesterday morning, okay? Yesterday morning. So we spent some time yesterday morning looking at a different prince, the prince of the power of this air. We spoke a little bit about it last night. I had a couple of review questions, but I wanted to get a bit more specific since all you guys were here. Alrighty. So, last night, I asked the question, who was that other prince? And someone answered it was the devil. And that's good. We got that established. But how did the devil come about? What was he originally? What was the devil originally? So I'm just going to have to just sort of interpret your answer a bit. Lacey, you were pretty early on. What do you reckon? One of God's angels. It's interesting. We're going to look at... We're going to look at a passage today that talks about the holy angels and talks about the devil and his angels. And there are the two different entities. There's the holy angels of God and there's the devil and his angels. But the devil was originally a holy angel of God. So, chronologically, do you understand what chronologically is? Right, so in the order of time, right? Where is one of the first places that the devil comes on the scene? And we looked at it in that passage of scripture as to where the Bible said he was there. So one of the places where the devil chronologically was on the scene. You're pretty quick. Oh no, location wise. So geographical location. And just to be specific, earthly geographical location, okay? So let's go over this side. What's your name? What is your name? Annie. Never met you before in my life. Do I give you it straight up, just confident that you're right, or should you give me the answer? In Eden, that's right. He's in Eden. Well done, Annie. Who's in Eden? I'll take multiple choice here. Give me some terminology about a heavenly description where he was at. There's a couple of things that the Bible says where the devil was in the presence of in a heavenly sense. And not geographically on earth, but somewhere in heaven that it's described. We've got a confident hand, Gareth. Doesn't really give me enough of a specific location. How about I say he walked up and down in the midst of? Something he walked up and down in the midst of. Yep. The stones of fire. Stones of fire. It's important that we think about these things because these are descriptions of heaven. And if you picture heaven as fluffy clouds with harps and cherubs floating around on with wings, where are the stones of fire in that picture? You know, the Bible says there's these stones of fire that he walked in the midst of. You need to get a biblical picture of heaven. And so that's why these things are important to just look at. How would you sum up the devil's sin? It says that he sinned, iniquity was found in him. How would you sum it up? And I'm just going to judge whether you're right or not. All right, Steffi Lee? Okay. So just bring jealousy down a bit. We get jealous because we think we should have something that someone else has got, right? So what is it that motivates us to think that we should have what they've got? Don't know. Can someone finish that? Yeah, but what is the description of what does it? They go, I deserve that. That should be me. Should have that. I'm. Toby? Steph, I'll come back to you. Pride. Good job. Pride. He was lifted up with pride. And look, truth be told, an old preacher friend of mine, he used to say that there's just pretty much it, just about every sin you come across, you can trace back to pride. There's nothing really that doesn't trace back to that. You know, it comes back to that, you think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And so, pride got in. He was perfect until iniquity was found in him. And here he is in the throne room of God. Here he is walking up and down in the midst of fire. And iniquity was found in him. And how does the Son of God feel about iniquity? What's the emotional response that the Bible says the Son of God has towards iniquity? Not just emotional, but intellectual and everything. Toby? Oh, that's not the word the Bible uses. Am I going to stick with the Bible? But it's a good word. It's not your theory, your premise isn't wrong, but it's not the biblical word that's used. He hates iniquity. Hates iniquity. It's a little stronger, isn't it? Hates is a little stronger than despise, isn't it? Hates iniquity. Last question. I don't have it, I'm making it up on the spot. So we talked about pride. His heart was lifted up because of something. What was it that the devil had that caused his heart to be lifted up? His heart was lifted up by reason of what? You've already had a... they've got no other hand. Go. His beauty. Good job. Well done. His heart was lifted up by reason of his beauty. God must know your breath stinks bad this morning. You need a couple of minties. All right, so this was what we did. We looked there at some things about who the devil is, how he came about, how he was created, how he fell, what went wrong within him. And I tell you, it's good to know a bit about who the devil is, because what you'll find is some traits in you that are very similar to the traits in him. You'll find pride that lifts you up and causes you to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You will find a corrupted wisdom where you can reason out why your thoughts are better than somebody else's thoughts and more intellectual than somebody else's, and why it all makes sense to you. And if it makes sense to you, then you must be right. And like Job said to his friends, wisdom will surely die with you, that you've got all the wisdom in the world. And we often think that about ourselves because we've got this corrupted wisdom that the devil had. There's a way that seems right unto a man, and to that man it just makes sense. But the end thereof is death. And that was what was going on with the devil. Alrighty. So, go with me this morning to Hebrews. We won't race this morning. I'm going to need some volunteers this morning. So I'll shoot some volunteers this morning. Might do that. It's probably the best way to go about it. I'll just shoot some volunteers. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. I'll read you this bit. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. We're talking about the captain of our salvation, that through death and his victory over death, our captain might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And so we're looking at the destruction of the devil this morning. So we need green, yellow, red, blue. I think there's only four places we need to turn. All right. Let's split it in half. We'll go half and half. So if you don't want to read, pass it on to somebody else. I don't all fight over it. Come on now. Send them back. If no one grabs them, I'll take an army volunteer. Isaiah 14. Go there and we're going to stay there this morning. Isaiah 14. I give you a little bit of time to get there. And then we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. Isaiah 14. Once you get to the chapter, go down to verse 4 is where we're going to start. Isaiah 14, verse 4. So, yesterday we looked at a passage that, and talking about the devil, it used another person, another title to just talk in relation to the devil, and that was the King of Tyre. This morning we're going to look at somebody who's called the King of Babylon, and these are just men of history that were influenced by the devil, and the Lord uses them and speaks to them, but he goes past them to what the actual problem is. Because here's the thing. You may not know God. You might come across somebody who doesn't know God. You might come across somebody who shakes their fist at God and curses God. And the Bible rightly says that they're at enmity with God. They're on the enemy's side. But the Bible also says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil is set for destruction, and we're going to look at that. The king of Babylon that we're going to look at here, the Lord's desire for the king of Babylon was the same as his desire for anybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And it does not matter how wicked you are, the Lord's desire is that you'd get saved. It doesn't matter how wicked anybody is, the Lord's desire is for them to get saved. And he loves you past your faults. That's what a true friend is, and that's what true love is. Because you're not perfect. You've got plenty of faults. And if someone's going to be your friend, they're going to have to put up with your failings. Just like if you're going to be somebody's friend, you're going to have to be patient with their failings and their faults. So we're looking at the king of Babylon, but the Lord looks past the king of Babylon to the devil who's behind him. So Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 4, and who's got the red? Who's red? Who's got the red ball? Lily? If you can read out verse 4 through to verse 6. Isaiah 14, verse 4 through to 6. All right. mighty. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. I ask you to bow your heads. I'm not going to do what I did last night and just step you all through it, but just pray. When I pray, you pray that the Lord might talk to you. If you want God to talk to you this morning, then ask him to. You know, we have not because we ask not, and we have not because we ask amiss, and we ask the wrong things, but it's right to ask God to talk to you. So if you want to hear from God this morning, just ask him to speak to your heart as we pray this morning. So let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I pray you'd be with us. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just stop and look at some things a little slower this morning and consider the end of that enemy that is Satan. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd speak to the hearts of each and every one of us. You'd help me to preach, Lord, and you'd have your hand upon us. Your Spirit would work amongst us in Jesus' name. We ask these things. Amen. All righty. So, the Bible describes a couple of things here about this king. He says, how hath the oppressor ceased? Do you know what it is to be oppressed? Can you stand up? Stand up for me. Stand up. Can you stand up, please? Yeah, come on, keep coming. Come on, stand up. See, what I'm doing is, he's trying to do something, and I'm pushing back, and I'm oppressing him, I'm holding him down, right? And if I really want, are you healthy? Yeah, no broken bones, no real big troubles or anything. No. So if I really want to oppress him, then I'm just going to do this. Now get up. No, you can't. It's just not going to happen, right? Just laying on him so you can't move, just all my weight, just... Right? The devil is an oppressor. And the king of Babylon here is described as that. And the Bible says, how hath the oppressor ceased? Have you ever felt some things where you're just so weighed down, you go, I just don't know how to work under this. I just can't do anything. And I don't know who it was. It might have been one of you, but there was those scarecrow things there, and someone was laying on one, and then they had the other one over the top of them, and it was just like, oh, stuck there. And I thought, you know, sometimes that's how life feels, doesn't it? Just like you've got this lead weight laying on top of you that you can't move. Just getting out of bed's hard work. Just facing the day. Maybe it's because family is such a mess. It's like, I don't even want to get up. Maybe it's because schoolwork is on you so much that, and you go, oh, it's school. But you know what it is it's your diligence. It's hard to be diligent and apply ourselves and go, I don't want to discipline myself to that. I'd rather just lay here and snore, right? We just don't want to get up. We don't want to go about the day. We're oppressed. Maybe there's a sin in your life and you just go, I can't get past this. I've started lying and I can't stop. It's just like every time I open my mouth, more lies come out and I want out from under it, but I'm oppressed. And it's the devil that oppresses. And he has no desire to give you any room to enjoy and live and breathe and do what God would have you do. His purpose, his desire is to just oppress you. And here, in talking about the king of Babylon who was under that influence, who was led by the devil, the Bible says the oppressor has ceased. Can you imagine that? Did it feel good when I got off you? It's like, oh, I can breathe, right? Have you ever been on the bottom of a dog pile? Yeah. And you know that, you know when you start to get that panicky feeling in your chest, like, okay, it's like, I'm going to die underneath all these people. And then they get off and you're like, oh, you know when you're winded and you cop a big hit and you're down here and you think you're about to die and then you can start to breathe again and the oppression just lifts. And, oh. You ever had an asthma attack where you're just so restricted but then breath comes back and it's like, oh. There's a day coming when the oppression will cease. When the oppressor will cease. And the Lord will deal with the devil as an oppressor. And the oppression will cease. The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked. The Bible says the king of Babylon, and later identifies him as Lucifer, and says it's the staff of the wicked. The wickedness that just reigns. I understand we enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but wickedness eventually brings grief. And it brings hardship, and it brings sorrow, and it brings death in our life. And whilst we might somewhat, in a sense, for ourselves, enjoy in the flesh walking in wickedness for a bit, we don't enjoy it when someone else does. We don't enjoy it when someone else gets wicked around us and their wickedness starts impacting us. Oh, I don't know all the story about it, but there's a young girl down on Mackay Beach, sitting on the beach. Some random just come up and started stabbing on her. She was hospitalized, and it happened just a week or two ago. You know why? Because we might go, you know what, I'm okay with wickedness in me, I just don't want wickedness in somebody else. Well, one day all that wickedness will stop. All that hate and destruction and death and thieving and lying and killing and destroying. The Bible says the wicked, their staff will be broken. Talks about this king of Babylon. He smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none restricteth. See, the world has turned rebellion into a cool word. Wickedness into something fun. The world is happy to embrace the devil as the cool cat. That's the place to be. But what the devil rules in is in anger and in wrath that does not cease. You been in trouble before? It's fun, isn't it? I mean, it's just to be given an hour long lecture, or just to be have something taken from you, just to face some punishment, just to be taken out the back of the wool shed and with the woodshed and given a few, what is it? The rod of correction applied to the seat of learning. And it's not pleasant. But after we've gotten in trouble and we've learnt our lesson, it brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness, right? We get in trouble, but the trouble ceases. We learn our lesson and we have some peaceful fruit because we've learned our lesson and done right. But you know what the devil does? The devil takes you behind the woodshed and he just doesn't stop beating. The wrath that he dishes out doesn't end. The anger that he reigns in doesn't stop. Just keeps on going. There's no lesson to be learnt. There's just anger to be dished out. There's no peaceable fruit of righteousness to walk in because he's not trying to teach you anything. He's just beating on you for anger's sake. He's just oppressing you and letting his wrath fall on you. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says here, he that ruleth the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. Now, if you saw somebody just beating on someone relentlessly, just not stopping, they're just relentlessly beating on someone and beating on someone, wouldn't you want some authority to step in and stop it and set it right? I would. I'd be like, you need to step in and stop that. That shouldn't be happening. They shouldn't just be beating on someone like that. And the Bible says here that one day he that beats and who reigns rules in anger and wrath, that he will be persecuted. The Lord is going to turn on the devil and persecute the devil. That's where the end of this thing is. I want you to see the end, not just who the devil is, but I want you to see the end of the matter. He that is persecuted, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. All right, who's got the green ball? Toby, verse 7 through to 11. Nice and loud, bud. So the Bible says here that thou art become weak. Thy pomp is brought down. Just hold on for a minute, or I'll grab him at the end. Thank you. So the Bible says that the devil was lifted up and full of pride, and we see the strength of the devil. He ruled in anger, he ruled in wrath, and he still has some authority, and you see that dished out. And people say, why does God let such wicked things happen in the world? Because the devil is the prince of the power of this air. There's some places that the devil's in charge of. The reason you're seeing things falling apart so much is because the Lord has allowed the devil to have some prince status in this earth for a while, and you're seeing the fruit of his hands, the wickedness that he walks in. And you know why? You know how it happens? It happens because when we're your age and we start to see, you know what, there's some wickedness in me, and we don't deal with that, and we lie to ourselves, and we pump ourselves up, and we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, and we corrupt our wisdom, and then we land in positions of authority and power in this world, and you rule and reign in this world as the adults that are in charge of it all, in a way that is full of pomp and pride, in a way that is full of the wickedness of the devil rather than the righteousness of God. And because you and as an individual may have rejected the righteousness of God, you then want God's righteousness to work through you. And the world is full of people who reject the righteousness of God and the sanctity of God and accept instead the wickedness and the pomp of the devil. But then they want God to influence this world, so long as he doesn't change them. And they want God to stop the wickedness in the world, just not the wickedness in them. Well, it starts with you and me. It starts with you being willing for God to change you, and for him to be your captain, and you follow him. But the devil here, the Bible says the pomp. You know what pomp is? Look at me. You sorry little pleb. You're nothing compared to me. Look at you, sorry lot. I'm so much better than you. And you don't even measure up. But me, however, if you want to know something, I'll tell you something. Because look at me. The Bible says one day the devil's pomp will be brought low. You ever met someone that brags about himself? I mean, they just want to talk about themselves all the time and what they can do and how good they are. And don't you just love it when they start bragging about how good they are on the basketball court and then it all comes undone? I mean, they can't shoot a hoop to save themselves. Or then some little fifth grader comes up and just walks all over them. It's just great. We love it. One day the devil's pomp is going to be brought low. That's the end. That's the end of the devil. That's the end of where his head is. Who's got the yellow ball? Verse 12 to 14, if you can. So the devil here steps in and we see who he is. He says, Lucifer. We see who the king is that has actually been spoken of. And we see Lucifer. And there's four things that he does. There's four I wills. Do you see them there in verse 13? Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. That's to climb up. That's to lift myself. That's to be up there. I will ascend. And he said, I will ascend into heaven. That place where God is. He said, that's where I'm going to be. He said, I will exalt. That's not climbing the ladder. That's boosting myself. He said, I will exalt. What? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He said, I'm going to be over it all. He says, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. There where God sits, that's where I'm going to sit. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will. You know what the Bible says of us? We shouldn't even say we're going to go to this town and buy and sell and get gain. What we should say, if the Lord wills, I'll go to this town. If it's what the Lord wants, I'll do it. Whereas our devil, he just went, no, I will. And this is why it's important to know the devil, because someone asks you, what are you going to do with your life? And you say, I will do this. Well, where does God come into it? What are your plans? Well, hang what your plans are. If you want to serve God, you better find out what His plans are. And say, well, if God wills, then I'd like to do this. If God will, I'll do this. Whereas the devil, he said, no, just I will. I will. Do you know how easy it is to say I will? Just by neglecting God's will. Just by leaving God's will out of the picture, you just have your will. That's why Hebrews says that we need to be careful not to neglect so great a salvation. You don't have to be actively against God, you just neglect it. You just neglect God, you just leave Him out of any picture. And that's what the devil did. He just left God out of any hopes, any plans. He was just, I will. All the way through. We see him looking to exalt himself. And ultimately what this was high treason. What this was a betrayal of his Creator. You ever read that passage where God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? That's a strange sort of a friendship, isn't it? Who's got a friend here? Who's got a friend here? You two are friends? All right. So did your friendship happen like this? You came to her and said, if you keep my commandments, then we'll be good friends. No? That's a strange... If she had of, how would you feel about that? So long as you do everything she tells you, then the friendship can stand. That seems wrong, doesn't it? But that's what God says. But what if you were the Prime Minister of Australia and she was the greatest criminal Australia had ever met? Right? Or if you were the police chief. You were the police chief. And she was just a murderer and a thief. Right? Then it would be reasonable, wouldn't it, for you to say, look, for us to be friends, you need to keep the law. Because I have a responsibility in my position. And for us to be friends, you need to respect my position. See, the thing is, Jesus isn't talking to you about having a friendship with Him based on your peer level, that He's just the same as you. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the God of this whole earth. He has authority, and He says, if you are going to be a friend and a brother to me, then I need you to honor my position as well. That I have a position you don't have. I have an authority you don't have. And if you despise that authority, if you hate that position, if you reject what I say is right and good, that's going to affect our friendship and our peace and our unity. And the Lord created Lucifer and set him there in the stones of fire. And Lucifer said, no, I'll do this my way, not your way. He said, who you are doesn't matter. Who I am is what matters. And instead of being the faithful minister to his creator and his friend, he said, no, I'll have what you are. I will be like the Most High. I will take all that for me. And so he betrayed. And he committed what's called high treason. Who's got the blue? Verse 15, buddy. And so he said, I will. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, you'll be brought down to hell. That's what you'll be brought down to. And you can live your life going, I will ascend. And you can say, I don't know if this is going to work. I might hurt myself here. He said, I will exalt myself. And I will be the one that all look to. And I'll be above everything. And I'll be as good as God. And you can say that and you can make all your plans and all your hopes and all your dreams without God. And God says the answer for you will be the same as the answer for the devil. You'll be brought down to hell. You exalt yourself against God, you commit high treason. And the Lord said, your plans will be brought to naught. You won't ascend up. You'll be cast down. And the devil will be cast down. Whilst he lifts himself up, his ultimate end is to be cast down. Go with me quickly to Matthew 25. We've got 5 minutes to get through at least half an hour of Bible here. So we're going to go really, really quick. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord says to his sheep, Come inherit my kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He said, I've got a place that is prepared for my people. It's made just for you. And because you have followed me, because I have been your captain, and you have not neglected so great a salvation, but you've tended to it and united yourself through faith with Christ. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He said, I have a place prepared for you. But go to verse 41. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He said, there's a place of everlasting fire. And it was not made for you. Do you remember last night I talked to you about how this world is supposed to be in subjection to us, but there's one thing that we can't bring into subjection, and that's death. In fact, we're the ones that are subject to death and bound to it. And all our life are in bondage and fear of death. And so our captain has won the victory over death and brought it into submission to us through his work. So likewise, the Lord says, there's a place that's prepared for God's people. And there's another place that's prepared for the devil and his angels. And the devil will exalt himself on high. And the Lord said, no, he'll be cast down into everlasting fire. But not just the devil. The Bible says the goats will be cast there as well. Not just was the devil, okay, it's prepared for the devil, but if you insist on neglecting Christ as your Savior and choose rather to just run with the devil's crowd, the Bible says hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, and those that neglect Christ and remain with the devil will be cast into there for all eternity. Really, really briefly, Isaiah 14, verse 16. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. That's where the devil ends. But I want you to see this. For I will rise against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut down from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. He talks about the slaughter of the children of the devil, and that death and destruction are not just attached to the, not just there for the devil, but those that remain his. It's important whether you neglect or tend to your salvation. And there's an end for the devil and those that are his, and it's death and hell. Doesn't matter how much he pumps himself up and makes himself look like he's the one. And you don't have to worry about God. God says this is the end of the story. And I need you to see that end of the story and know it, that you might see the importance about tending to the salvation that God offers. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, dear Lord, that you don't just only show us Christ, but you show us that enemy of Christ, that wicked one, the devil. And that we might, Lord, understand that there is the reality of the unseen in this world. And that, Lord, we might tend unto that so great a salvation. We might look unto Jesus. And Lord, I pray if there's any that is here with an evil heart of unbelief, with a heart that has been lied to and deceived, I pray, Lord, you'd open their eyes to the lies of the devil and the truth of Christ, that they might see, that they might understand, they might believe, that they might be saved by the grace of God. We thank you and praise you for the work you've done. And I thank you, Lord, that at the end of this all, you'll set it all straight with the devil. You'll deal with his wickedness. We look forward to that day in Jesus' name. Amen.